Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
In the playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com radio, John Rook here, Eric Scalavino from PFW, and a very special guest in the studio today. If you frequented this program over the course of the last 11, 12 years that we've been here, how long have you been doing this show with us now? Make sure her mic's on over there, will you? Make sure she's got it. She's a pro. How long have you been listening?
I don't know, maybe 5 or 6.
Okay, at least.
Yes.
I was
going to
say at least half of that time, yes. Right? Well, the inimitable one, Cat from Chicago. You like that one, Eric?
It's Cat with a K.
Yeah, Cat with a K.
Just like Eric with a K.
Eric with a K from Chicago. No, you're not from Chicago, though.
No.
But Cat from Chicago has journeyed eastward with her husband, Dominic, and they're going to take in the game on Sunday. And she's graciously agreed to stop by and sit in studio and chat a little football with us.
And buy us lunch and bring us goodies.
Which is tremendous, and it's not necessary, but thank you, because we're only warmed by your presence here. You know that, right?
Well, it's the holiday season. I have to bring something.
Thank you. Well, it's greatly appreciated. But it is a pleasure to actually get a chance to sit and talk with you and meet you and get your thoughts on the football game this weekend. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's actually Sunday is my birthday. And
oh
so when
goodness.
I saw
it just
with
doesn't
the Browns,
get any better, does it?
Right, exactly. It was like, this should be a great win.
You're turning 25 on Sunday?
Yeah. Yes, it's like my 7th or 8th, 25th birthday.
Nice.
Something like that.
Nice. Like yeah. It. So we have Cats in studio. Today, of course, is Thursday, which means it's Prediction Thursday. Thursday, he tried to say. And if you're still up for the possibility of the yearbook / media guide, well, then until we give away at least 2 or 3 more, I think, since we gave away all, 4 or 5 in 1 week this year. Climb on board right now with your prediction. Webradio at patriots.com. The toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500, or the ACE ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. Which one do you remember most? The toll-free number or the ACE ticket hotline?
The ACE ticket hotline.
ACE ticket hotline. See, that's why ACE Ticket's a sponsor, right? And they'd be very happy to hear you say
that's
that.
That's why I got my tickets through.
ACE Ticket.
I did.
How about that? Boy, it just
success
doesn't get any
story.
Better than that.
Well,
cha-ching, right?
I mean, that's what we tell people to do.
That's what we tell them to go there. The ACE Ticket hotline, gang. And then social media, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Line up your predictions and let's go. Russell Baxter, pro football guru, will join us in hour number 2, as he always does on Thursdays, as we run through the highlights of the NFL season. And in the meantime, it's us, it's you, it's Cat from Chicago. The first question that I have, though, really pertains to this week's game, is I'm trying to sit here and think this through. And if you had a chance to listen to the show yesterday, you know that I was excuse me, totally in the old school mode, completely in the old school mode, trying to think of players. I mean, just thinking of the old Cleveland Browns, I was trying to think of players that I didn't get a chance to see while growing up, and I'm older than, the majority here, but guys that I would love to have seen play in person. And Cleveland just sort of brought that out in me, and maybe it's because Cleveland hasn't been good in a very, very long time. And so I came up with some great names, and a couple of them, came out on the show yesterday. Do you have one in particular, Kat, that you would love to have seen that you never had a chance to see play?
You know, I don't have a favorite. I love watching all the old NFL film stuff. I like the teams. I like seeing more of the old teams. I like seeing the way that they played then.
Although some of the throwback uniforms are hideous.
Yeah, well, the Steelers.
Steelers uniforms is hideous. Do you remember the ones that the Broncos wore a couple
yes.
of years ago?
I love those. The brown
with the vertical
yellow
stripes.
Yes.
Those
the
were
stripes
horrible.
Are bad.
Those are fantastic.
The stripes
horrible.
Are always bad.
The worse, the better.
Horrible. I mean, they might as well just dress up. They could have dressed up as 11 bozos, and it would have been more fun. Seriously.
They won the game.
I do like the Packer throwbacks, though. You know, the ones with the meat
circle.
Patch circle on the front. Yeah. And actually, I kind of find that sort of rugged, you know?
Well, I like
this Fort Worth voice again.
Rugged.
The Patriot Reds are nice, but I'm sad we're not getting them this year.
I'm sad, too.
Yeah.
They're the best uniforms they've ever had.
Don't you think, though, that we should have the red tops or a red alternate jersey, even with the Flying Elvis logo?
Yeah, now that we're not wearing the 85s,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
my choice is to go back to the 85s permanently, get rid of the stupid Elvis logo, but that's just me.
You'd be a fan of bringing back
best
Pat?
Logo of all time. Best logo, best color scheme
of
all time.
It was derided almost hideously.
I don't care what anybody says. It was the best logo of all time and the best color scheme that they've ever had.
Well, it's hard to beat red, white, and blue. Duh.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like... Pat Patriot grew on me over the years. And then when we got Flying Elvis, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of have a new appreciation for Pat. You know, and I like balancing him out. I always do like to bring Pat back for an appearance. I mean, after all, he is in retirement, so we shouldn't bug him in his retirement. Mm. I mean, because everybody has a right to retirement, right?
If you didn't have the Flying Elvis, you wouldn't, you know, you couldn't look back so fondly on Pat Patriot today.
That's all, yeah, you know what? No, that's an excellent point. See, that's why we brought her on the program here, because she always brings the sensible part of it in. You know, leave it to a good woman to bring out the, you know, the good part in a guy, right?
There are two of us here. Two guys.
Who are you? Excuse me?
There are two guys here.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, I know. Understood. All right, so as we're going old school, you're a fan of old school uniforms, old school style, old school way of thinking. It appears to me that at least in this game this weekend, if Jason Campbell, who, by the way, got the nod to at least to practice today.
Yeah, not yet to play.
Not yet to play in the game, but if he's been given the nod to practice, it'd be hard for me to see them go ahead and decide, okay, Caleb Haney's going to be our guy on Sunday. And I've always kind of expected in the back of my head, okay, probably Jason Campbell's going to be the guy you're going to have to face. To me, Campbell, even though he's simply a stopgap measure, he provides Cleveland, in my opinion, their best chance to win because he does have an old-school style of play to him because he can beat you with his feet as well as his arm, and all he really has to do is throw it up there to Josh Gordon. I think we realize that. And Gordon has gone and gotten it for almost 500 yards receiving the last couple of weeks. That's what concerns me the most about this week here. What do you think?
No, it doesn't even concern me.
At all?
No. I really have very little concern about their Patriots winning this game.
We should all be scared to death now.
No, because last week I feared that they would lose, and they almost did.
Which is why we should always be right, John.
You know that.
Dude, I'm 10-2 against the spread with the Patriots this year. Where are you?
I know. I don't know.
That's all I'm saying. Okay? So.
But you were nervous last week, too.
And I pegged it right. I pegged it right.
Yeah,
I had Houston in the points last week.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with this game.
Okay.
I'm a little worried. I think that Josh Gordon, especially depending on who plays in the secondary, who's covering. I mean, I would think that he's going to be man coverage with Tlaib, but
with a little help, I think
he's got to have help over the top. He's too big a target to go man on man with. I mean, Akib's great, but I think we all realize he's got his faults too.
Yes.
And unless you know you're going to be Sherman in Seattle, I don't know anybody that could man up with any receiver like that.
They can afford to because they don't have too much else going on either. But I think Campbell will definitely run. I don't know. I don't think he plays the whole game. I would think that he'll probably get. I don't see. He's older now. He's plus the concussion thing. I'd be surprised if he makes it through the whole game. I think he will get sacked a few times, and then maybe who knows? Maybe we might see Caleb Haney a little bit. I don't know.
Anything's possible. It just seems to me that the dangerous team, especially at this stage of the season when you have a month left to go in the regular season before the playoffs, the dangerous teams are the teams that are decent, that have probably been banged up, but they're out of the playoff derby. They have nothing to lose. And when you have players like Campbell, who's basically going to be, hey, if I'm going to try to, play one more year or two more years or however long he thinks he can play, he's got to play for a contract.
Yeah.
So he's going to go out there and go for broke, and he's going to try to wing it. And then he could put, the Patriots pelt on his resume.
I hear your argument. I just used it last week. I don't.
And you're not buying it.
No, not 2 weeks in a row.
This week?
No.
So you've seen this dog and pony show before.
Okay. They had two games against really good opponents, Carolina and Denver, and they lost the Carolina one, but some people think they, got screwed out of that one. But they had two tough, really tough games. They had to get up for two really big opponents. They were due for a letdown against a bad opponent last week. I don't think they get two letdowns in a row. I really don't.
It seemed like everyone was very distracted. There wasn't a lot of focus in the first half of that game. Even
last week?
Yeah, last week. Even in the coaching, some of the play calling was really bad, not adjusting well, especially on defense. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose. I don't think there's any chance that they lose this week. I knock on wood.
No.
But I do think that it'll also be interesting because the Browns aren't very balanced in my mind. So, you know, without having to worry about the run so much, except for, you know, Campbell running out of the pocket. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do defensively.
I also have the stat that matters most
and
in this game.
I think I know which one you're going to, but
you
go
do?
Ahead. I think so.
Okay. This is a UK Patriots fan club game.
Oh.
They are 7-1 at Gillette Stadium when they have come as officially as an organization, as a group tour, not as individuals.
What was the one loss?
Last year, Arizona, that came down to the field goal that they should have won with the miracle. So that was the one aberration.
Okay, but once again, you're on a one-game losing streak.
Yeah, but it was.
And second again, that's a game that they should have won, and everybody knows they should have won, and they didn't. And that's what this week's game falls into that category.
That was early in the season, though. That was week two.
Later in the season?
That was a
week two game.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'll buy that a little.
And Dominic and the UK Patriots are here. It's
all over?
It's all over.
It's all over? All right. At any rate, I do think the Patriots win. I'll give my score in a little bit. However, I guess the theme that I've been sort of kind of hanging on to this week is, all right, this could be considered a trap opportunity because you have two opponents coming up in the next 2 weeks that will be sufficiently motivated to kick your arse only because they're right in the thick of the playoff chase and really can't afford a loss at this time of season. While you might clinch things this week, you may have literally nothing else to play for other than seeding, and I think we all know that that's a crapshoot where it turns out anyway. Because if Miami loses this week,
I still
and the
think
Patriots
they want
win,
the two. I don't think they want.
Well, I think
give
they do. But
that.
Really, Eric, honestly, go down. You know, this next week, you guys, if they clinch the AFC East, I want you to go down to the locker room and I want you to ask the guys, does it matter where you're seated? What do you think they're going to tell you?
Oh, I know what they're going to tell me. But
yeah,
I know what I know.
But what do you think they're really going to think?
What they're really going to think is they want the week off,
right?
So they're not gonna lay down and say these games don't matter.
But does that incent them though to play harder to win? And my answer to that is no. That's why I'm driving to that. As long as they're in the tournament, they feel like they've got a shot to play, whether it's two games or three games or whatever. They prefer to have a couple of games at home. I think everybody would, but I don't think they're going to risk life or limb. And literally, that is the case this year, especially on the limb side. I don't think they're going to risk it. I just don't. I don't see it. I think if the Patriots, if they don't clinch early, you know, the bye early, they get right down to it. I could certainly see them resting people this year more so than any other year because A, of the people that they've lost, B, because of the guys that are in the replacement roles, specifically defensively, who are getting beaten down and getting figured out by the others. That's what concerns me the most right now, is that other teams are figuring it out. And
that's why I think more than ever they need a week off.
I wouldn't disagree, but I don't. Getting there is going to be the difficult thing to do.
It'll be
I
worth
think the
it,
Patriots
though.
Are going to have to pull. You know, we thought the Patriots were going to have one thing before this season started, right? We thought we had explosive offense again and maybe an improved defense. That's what we were hoping for, right? And then all of a sudden the season starts, or we get into spring training. There's no Aaron Hernandez. There's no Rob Gronkowski. Danny Amendola starts getting hurt. Tom Brady's now struggling throwing the ball because he doesn't have the targets to throw to out there, and he's got, you know, the Wookiees that are out there that are trying to – the Wookiees that are out there, you know – the Wookiees that caught him. Caught him. He's working over there.
Poor Kevin.
Yeah, I know. We pick on Kevin, but we pick on him because we love him, okay? That's true. Not in that way, Kev. Okay. But here's the thing. You had to redevelop, you had to rethink your whole philosophy then. And you had to develop something that you didn't think you're going to have to be. Now, it's come full circle. And now, while the offense is getting healthy, the defense is getting figured out. And so now I'm thinking you're going back to the almost the 07 style of play. All right, let's just go out there and try to throw 38 on the board and hope it sticks. And I don't think you win championships that way.
Yeah, the defense worries me too. I don't think it's a question of figuring it out. I just think we just don't have the guys.
The run defense in particular is what concerns me.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing
to be done, though. It's not, we just don't have the personnel.
Yeah. There really isn't
most of these guys
out.
Would be second or third stringers on any other team. It's just the fact that we're so depleted. So there's nothing to figure out.
I know.
You just run at them.
Watch the film on Mondays, and other offensive lines are just blocking at will.
And there's no fight back. Right. That's part of the problem, because we have two guys in there, God love them, Joe Villano and Chris Jones.
They're doing their best, who have done
an unbelievable job manning up, getting in there. That's not what they were intended to be this year.
Right.
The other problem is they're switching. It seems like now, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going back to more of that 3-4. They're not used to. They hardly did any 3-4 last season.
Well, they started doing the 3-4 when Sopoaga first got here, because that was what he was most comfortable with. But since then, they've gone back to more of the 4-3, and last game they actually went with the 5-2-1 with the three tackles and the two ends. So
I don't think that's helping, though. People look confused.
Well, yeah, and I think it's – I mean, with this team, as you know, this coaching staff loves to be game plan specific. Mm-hmm. And against the Texans last week, they knew that they had a good running game, so I think they were trying to do their best. The last time we saw that, I think, was against – or at least with any frequency, was against the Jets, when they were getting run on, and they put three tackles in there, five defensive linemen, to try to stop. And it actually worked pretty well against the Jets for a little while. Mm-hmm. Not so well against Houston last week. So, I don't think that their idea is to go back to a 3-4 permanently. I think it was just to try to help get Sopoaga in the game, and they just had to adapt, because the rest of their personnel I don't think is really made for that.
I agree.
So they were just kind of – and now I think Sopoaga, we actually saw him playing in some four-man fronts, mm-hmm. Playing the three technique a little bit in the last game. So I think he's starting to get more comfortable with what they want.
Well, that's encouraging if there's a comfort level there. But what I think we all realize, that the bigger problem may not be even at the point of attack, as you suggested, though, that the defensive line is getting kind of manhandled by some of the opposing offensive lines. Our concern happens to be in the linebacking core, where there just doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consistency anywhere on either side, either in run stopping or in coverage.
Well, I'm actually more encouraged when I see Fletcher and Collins on the field in place of Spikes and Hightower, because they're at least doing some things that are playmaker-like, mm-hmm. Whereas the two guys who start never really do anything to impress me.
I agree.
So the more I see of Fletcher and Collins, the more I like this defense. The less I see of Spikes and Hightower, the better.
Just because you have the playmaking capability in
them? Yeah, and those guys don't. They're slow. They're late to react. They just don't.
Sometimes
they're just out there. They're not doing anything.
Dunta Hightower doesn't even look like. I mean,
he's
lost. He's got the dot. What? He should be the last person who looks lost.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Yeah, I agree with you.
Eric tried to throw him out with the bathwater yesterday.
Yeah,
That's what you're getting. I'm saying you don't expect to get much more out of Hightower than what you've seen. Yeah. It's past that point.
I'm holding out hope.
All right.
I'm holding out hope. I'm going to give him till this time next year, and you and I may revisit this next year at this time. And if
so
we
you're
do...
So you're looking for the year three jump, whereas everyone else looks for the year two jump.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am. I'll be open and honest about
it. Okay.
And if it doesn't happen, then I'll be ready to kick his butt out the door next year myself.
Okay.
It's like, okay, we got to get a linebacker in here. That's basically how we look at it. But until we get to that point in time, look, how long did they give Rozai Dowling?
3 years.
Too long.
Okay, and he was a second-round pick. Now, you think they're going to give a guy like Lante Hightower less time than that?
I'm not saying you cut him, John. I'm just saying that he's – don't expect –
What are you going to do in the interim? There's nothing else to do in the interim. He's got to play.
You can stuff him in the middle, at middle linebacker, because I don't think Spikes is coming back.
All right. So put him in the middle.
Who knows? I mean
– Actually, they give – why not? Yeah, Mayo, absolutely.
If Mayo comes back and he's healthy – he's your middle linebacker.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
But
then what do? Do you rotate him?
You could rotate him and maybe.
Not exactly a coverage back either, No.
But if you put Fletcher out there as the every down guy, I don't see any more potential for Hightower to get any better. So I'd rather put guys out there who at least give me the potential for making a play. I don't care where he was drafted. if he's not performing.
Well, but you know as well as I do that this organization doesn't give up easily on those first or second round draft picks. They just don't. Never have, never will. Look how long do they held on to some of those DBs. Mm-hmm. And I just used that as an example. Therefore, they're certainly going to give Hightower the benefit of the doubt. That is a fait accompli. The only way that they don't is if he gets hurt and they decide to cut him, you know, with an injury settlement. That's the only way that they get rid of Hightower early. Or earlier than they probably should. That's why you got to give him at least another year to see if he can figure this out. Hopefully training, book learning, agility work, whatever it takes, lose some weight. I don't know. Let's figure it out. But that's why the whole defensive thing really bothers me now, because I think we all know that you got to have at least some sort of a representative defense in order to be a true contender. And now that we're getting down to contention time here with four games left in the regular season, you know, all attention is going to turn to the defense. And all I see is an opponent just running at will on these guys right now. They can't stop running water. That's a big concern. So what else do you do? What else do? You try to run the score back on them, and can
force
we
them to throw and try and, to go and, to
and,
your strength?
And yeah, but can we rely on the offense now? Can we? Is it safe to say that Tom Brady's back? Is it safe to say that Rob Gronkowski's back? Is it safe to say that Stephen Ridley will hold on to the friggin' football?
I think it's pretty safe to say Gronk is back to. I'm feeling comfortable every time he's out there now, whereas before I was a little nervous when
he
first got back.
Glad he's finally wearing a brace.
Yeah, I know, but no, I. The way Gronk has looked the last few weeks, I think he is feeling pretty good, looking pretty good, too.
He tweaked his ankle against Houston.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. But, I mean, he's still the mismatch. I mean,
I agree.
Problem nobody can solve.
Sure, sure.
I like what Vereen's doing. He's getting more involved. He's becoming more of a reliable player. Edelman has been clutch all year. Amendola hasn't done as much since that first game against Buffalo, but he's still out there, and he's contributing every week. I think the offense is in pretty good shape, considering everything they've been through. So if they can start stronger now and force other teams to throw, that gives them the advantage. Anytime you can keep a team from running the ball against this defense, that's good. I'd rather and it's funny because the pass defense was what has been their problem in recent years. I think it's what they're better at now.
Much better secondary.
Yeah. And they're getting more of a pass rush.
Well, I also make sure that they have to have that pass rush for them to stay at a consistent level.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, the two areas,
is it improved? Yes. Is it where it needs to be? No way.
Well, no, but of the two, I'd rather take my chances on the pass side than on the run.
Then there's this big donut hole in the middle of that defense.
Yeah.
Okay? Big donut hole, which is the problem that we got to talk
about. Why I want Fletcher and Collins in there.
I want a good interior linebacker in the draft next year.
Is that really your number one?
That's my number one.
Your number one, an interior
somebody like
an inside
Luke Kuechly,
backer.
Somebody with a big wingspan, fast enough, you know, can move around. Yeah. That's what I want.
I know who I want in the draft already.
Oh, he plays for Texas.
No. Although, Jackson Jeffcoat wouldn't be bad because he's an undersized defensive end, so you could probably put him at linebacker in the pros. But actually, the guy that I'd like to see is the guy that made the through the car wash of ESPN today, Sondre Williams, Boston College running back.
Oh boy, a lot of tread on those tires already, isn't there?
Dude, he's a throwback. I mean, he's an Earl Campbell-style running back. He's rough. He's tough. He bowls people over. He runs by them.
Does he hold on to the football?
He holds on to the football. He hurts people when he runs. And the guy is as nice as the day is long. He's a perfect Patriot.
He's the one that he had a run either last week or a few weeks ago where he five or six people tried to tackle him and nobody
they
could
just
take
can't, it. Yeah, can't, I mean, it's just a joke.
He is old school.
Yeah, he's it's totally. Great. He's a huge throwback to a 1970s.
So he should be on the 80s. NFL films videos.
I'm telling you, he could easily be. This guy, you know, I'm thrilled for
he's
him
like
to have the year
ball.
That he's had.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled for the year that he's
seen
had.
Any of his
No, you've got to watch him. Okay, I mean he's you'll enjoy
he's
watching
senior?
Him play. Yes,
senior. I'll see
he's
him.
He's got
in
a
the,
great stiff arm.
Off season,
he does. So
speaking
listen
of
listen to Kat, she knows.
Did the name Gino Capoletti come up at all yesterday?
No.
Mm-mm. That's one that would be kind of interesting. Wide receiver, kicker, old AFL.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, plus we know him, so it would be kind of cool to see.
But I think a lot of Patriots fans, though, if they have any depth of remembrance as to the, you know, pre-merger days like we were talking about yesterday. They would have seen Geno because they were Patriots fans. And Geno played here in the 1960s.
Yeah. I wasn't born yet, though, when he played. So I would love to see him play.
Yeah, just go ahead and brag, okay?
I'm not bragging. I'm just stating the facts.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, let's get a timeout
here. So what are you worried about?
That's also true. Let's get a timeout in here, Kev. So what I want to do, make sure you know it's prediction Thursday. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see about a half a dozen predictions. What the hell's the matter with you people? Do you want to win something or not? Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, or pick up the phone, 855-PATS-500, and let us know what you think about the game this Sunday. Are we really that complacent to think that it's going to be a walkover? Even if you do, you still want to put your score out there because you might actually have a chance to win something here. So 855-PATS-500, hit me up on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, as he inches ever so more closely to the 2,000 magical number, the 2K number. It's kind of sad that I have to say that because Eric's got about 7,000 and Andy's got about 8,000 and Paul's got about 10,000 and Fred's got about 20,000. And you've been at it longer than I have? Well, that's no excuse. I'm bringing up the rear here. So, at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook. Okay. Ready, set, and go.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons, so I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome back to the Playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, joined in studio by our good friend and frequent caller and contributor, Kat from Chicago. What do you think about that whenever he plays that little sound effect there? Does that, you know?
Oh, it's fine with me.
Is that okay? Kat,
yeah,
with a K.
That's good.
If you don't mind my asking, is it? Yeah, that's a better one.
There you go.
Is that short for Catherine or Katrina or what?
Katrina.
Katrina. Good. You look like a Katrina.
Thank you.
Yes, you do. No, I just think you look like a Katrina. I mean,
it's
some
like
people
a hurricane,
look,
huh?
Some people look like a Julie. Some people look like a Kathy. Some people look like a Debbie. You look like a Katrina.
Cool.
Okay. I don't know what that really means other than the fact that I think you look like a Katrina. All right. I got a question that I want to ask both of you and our listeners, and I want you to mull it over when we go to the phones here for a moment. But I was thinking about this earlier this week. I was going to pop it out yesterday, and then I got in the old school mode and didn't really think about it. But I thought it would be relevant here because one of the things that we are trying to do, or that we hope the Patriots try to do, is continue the progress that they've made on offense that we've seen this far. Depending upon how you feel, how Bill Belichick handled the whole Stephen Ridley issue. whether or not you thought it was right for him to sit him last week or to, you know, basically DQ him, healthy scratch, that kind of thing or not. If you could think of one thing that would fix his problem, what would it be? I want you to fix Stephen Ridley, because he's a good back. We know he's the best all-around back that this franchise has right now. And save for going out there and getting the guy that I'm, you know, now in love with, Andre Williams from Boston College in the draft this next year, he may be the best back that we have for the next couple of years. So how do you fix him? Think about that for a moment. We have not one, but two in Buffalo. That game's a few weeks away, but we'll still take Matt in Buffalo up first anyway. Hey, Matt, you're in the playbook.
Hi, I guess I was just wondering, do you think Brady will start against Buffalo?
Brady will start?
The Week 17 game?
The Week 17 game? It all depends on whether or not they've clinched something. If they haven't clinched a bye, then yes. If they have, I mean, then no, I don't think he will. If they have clinched the bye, then I think he'll play because he's going to sit out a week anyway, at least play a half, I would think.
You don't think no matter what, he'll play at least a quarter?
Oh, he'll play some.
Yeah.
He may play at least, like I said, he may play a half. Even if they've clinched the bye, I still think they'll see him play a half. And then, you know, Ryan Mallett or whomever they picked up by that time will end up, you know, mopping up. But, yeah, I think you'll see him somewhat, Matt.
Okay, and then do you think Ridley will be playing any more games this year?
Yes.
I think he's got to, but, you know, like I just got through asking these guys, I mean, we're trying to figure out how you would fix the Stephen Ridley problem at this stage of the game. And quite frankly, I don't know if there's anything to fix. I think he realizes that, you know, because of his running style, he's got that spin move as he comes off the line of scrimmage that everybody really sort of knows about already. And because of that, he's got to figure out a way to keep his arms from flying out, you know, from his side like he has had a penchant to do. And so, you know, maybe he'll get that figured out before too long, and hopefully he will. But you got to use Stephen Ridley. He's the best running back you have on the roster.
Yep, just beat Buffalo, and then I'm happy.
Well, then that gives you bragging rights, right?
I live in Buffalo, so if they lose, I won't hear the end of it.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Do you have? Hey, Matt, do you have a score prediction for a Sunday?
1-0.
1-0. Well, but I mean, how about a realistic
one?
How about a realistic one?
Okay, it's Cleveland, so I think they'll get a little bit with Josh Gordon. I'm going to go with 28-7.
28-7. All right, I like that one.
Had a good game.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. 1-0. I think that's the first time I've ever heard that. Now, that's the eternal optimist, right?
He's not getting a yearbook.
Not at 1-0. He's not. 28-7, he might have a shot. Andrew in Buffalo, up next here in the playbook. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, John. What up?
What up?
If there's one thing I can pick for Ridley, I think I would tell him as a coach, you know, put two hands on the ball. As soon as you get the handoff, if you see how he doesn't, like, use his one hand because he wants that big play, he just want to shoot right through the, you know, through the hole and get a big play. But put two hands on the ball, I think that would eliminate some of the mistakes. But also, like, in the red zone, we've seen how he used that spin move near the line of scrimmage. And I've seen him score a couple of times off of that, but it just so happened that last, you know, 2 weeks ago he got caught with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, one thing I want to say, too, before I make my prediction, I agree with y'all with having Fletcher and Collins out there. Mm-hmm. I think they're more active, you know, pre-snappy post. Like, I think they're better playmakers and spikes than Hightower. I've been the biggest criticism of Hightower. I still complain about that coverage back in Pittsburgh. We had perfect coverage on the running back, but he didn't have the presence of mind to get his head around, you know, and pick off that ball. I still don't understand. But my prediction this week, against the Browns, I think we're going to win easily. I'm going to say 34-16.
34-16, okay.
Yeah, they're going to move the ball on us. I think they're going to run the ball. Because until we stop the run, I'm going to assume we're going to give up a lot of yards. But we're going to ultimately stop them in the red zone.
Okay.
Three straight weeks with 34, if that's the
34,
case.
34, I know. That's right. 34. Right, all right, Andrew, I appreciate that. Thank you. And a good suggestion about Stephen Ridley. That's awesome. By the way, you know, it just dawned on me, I think yesterday, that, hey, the last two games were both 34-31.
Right. And I looked up that. They've done that twice in the Belichick era, won games back to back by the same score.
It happened. They've never done it three in a row.
It happened in 2010, 23-20.
Yep.
Baltimore and San Diego mm-hmm. were the victims, mm-hmm. and then in 07 to start the year, 38-14, the Jets and San Diego.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's my football thing you don't care about.
Football
for this week. Yeah.
Go
in the paper.
Yourself, San Diego.
Yep. San Diego. Both times. That's right.
I kind of like that. You know, and I actually like his prediction as well.
Yeah.
All right. Keep it coming at 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com. You can also hit the Twitter at JR Broadcaster. I've gotten a few of those tweets, and I will share those coming up. But I wanted to take at least a couple of moments here before we close up our first hour to welcome in almost a playbook original.
That's true.
Almost a playbook original. Brian Lowe, B. Lowe from Patriots Today. You started contributing to this show...
04, 05, 06-ish? Had to be around.
I actually thought it was earlier than that.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world. Well, 03 would have been the earliest. So 03.
I think 03.
It was the first year. I didn't know it was the first year.
I think you came
involved,
in yeah. because you were, yeah. we were sort of developing. I know you were developing your role here
a little bit.
With the team a bit because you were doing a little bit of everything. And so we had you working on .com radio for
loved
a while.
And loved it. Yeah. That's why I wanted to make sure I slipped in here to give you a little bit of, you know, my goodbye. Because I have a lot of memories in here at these radio microphones right across from you.
You used to spend very much like Eric Scalavino does,
yeah.
an hour in here when we were in here during the weeks, and then you morphed
then
into
Then he muscled me aside.
Then he muscled you aside.
Yeah. Literally. And like one day I was walking in and he just shoved me away.
And elbowed him right in the... Right.
In his case, he kicked you aside.
Right. Right.
And then...
Right.
But you did go on to getting your own show for a while.
Yeah. Well, we were doing the Fantasy Lowdown, which was awesome for about 5 years. I think we had the Fantasy Lowdown, and
Fred
now there's a different fantasy related show, and I still do fantasy on some other platforms.
Yes.
I've spent a lot of time here, and not as much as you, John.
Unfortunately, Fred's the only one that spent as much time as me here.
That's pretty much true.
All right, so for those that don't know, since this week is your last week here, you are moving on to where?
To I'm going to work for a public relations company, and I was on with the PFW guys a couple hours ago, and I know there's a lot of the same listeners, but going to a public relations company that's just outside of Boston, a little bit of a changing course for me, but something I'd been thinking about doing, and don't want to be turning my back entirely on the sports side and the Patriots side, but it's a little bit of a different gear for me, and looking forward to it.
You also need a bit of a lifestyle change, though, since your family lifestyle has changed.
Got the little guy at home, Henry. Yeah, Henry needs daddy. He needs daddy. Believe me, I don't know why. I don't know why he wants daddy, but I think he needs. And that's it's all part of it. Working in sports is awesome.
Why do I see B-Lo and Henry in that commercial where that spastic guy tries to throw the baseball to his kid?
Oh yeah,
in the
that's
commercial.
Us. Oh yeah, that's us. That's us. Well,
teach your son how to throw a baseball.
The more Sundays that I'm home, the more opportunities to teach him how to throw a baseball. What I'm probably going to teach him first is long snapping. I think
that's
the safest.
A great idea.
Safest way to get involved.
That's a great,
pretty good money, and on the whole, relatively speaking, for football, maybe even his mom will let him play.
I think that's a great idea.
Maybe
we kid because we love.
Oh yeah, right? And I love being in here. But no, it that's all part of it. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons to working in sports. I've loved it. Time for something a little different, and certainly there's some family considerations as well. But it'll all work out. I hope, and I have fond memories of being in here.
I think it's great. It's a good thing that you're moving on. We're going to miss you around here.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to miss everybody here, and you never know. Maybe I'll sneak in sometime.
I hope you do. There's always a microphone warm or a chair cold or whatever you want.
Yeah, the warm
hot dogs
warm
and chairs. Sausages.
Yeah, well, see, I know that my legacy will live on as long as there are drop-ins like that. I know my legacy will live on. Ice-cold beverages.
Ice-cold beverages, too. That's right. Love it. See, he's all choked up now.
Yeah,
we've got him all choked up. All
right,
so then let's put you to the test here since we've got a couple
of
minutes
left
of the open hour.
I know.
I
am all choked up. I didn't even have one of these cookies yet.
How would you fix Stephen Ridley?
Well, I think they're going to need him down the stretch. I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to get to where they need to be with Stephen Ridley on the sideline holding a football in street clothes every week. They're fortunate in that they have a very good, versatile group of running backs where on a week-to-week basis right now, I think, especially against the Cleveland Browns, maybe against the Dolphins, they're not going to need Stephen Ridley on any given game.
Yeah.
But if they look to play in February, which would mean at least seven more games, they are going to need Stephen Ridley, who I still think is their best running back. How do you fix him? It's the mental. It's what we don't see, which is from Monday to Saturday, how's he managing this?
And yep. Yeah, and Beal, I think the indication that we've gotten this week from him, we've seen him twice, 2 days in a row in the locker room, and he's declined politely to talk with us.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a guy who knows what questions are coming and isn't comfortable answering them. And to me, that means it's still in his head, and that bothers me.
True, but he's also been a real stand-up guy after games in which he has fumbled.
Yes.
Going right back, even the Denver game, the most recent one that he played. So I give him a lot of credit for that. And
I'm just saying not. I don't care if he wants to talk to us or not as far as what the sound that we get from him.
Right.
But the fact that he thinks he doesn't want to talk to us means that it's still bothering him. You know what I mean?
And what would be interesting to know, which we won't know, is at the moment that he fumbled against Denver and the coaches obviously decided, all right, he's not going back in the game. Did Belichick and maybe Ivan Fears and Josh McDaniels, like right at that moment, did they pretty much know in their mind, we're going to be sitting this guy out a week and we got to give him a chance to figure it out, take a deep breath, see if it's or did they really not decide until right? I feel like there might be a master plan here in place that we'll never know, but that it might be like a 2 to 3 week plan where they're like, all right, this guy's got an issue. He's hurting the team. We don't trust him right now. We have faith in him. Here's what we need to see him do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at practice, Saturday in walkthroughs and all that. I have a feeling that there's a plan in place where they already know if he's going to play this Sunday and if he does play, roughly how many carries, pending any fumbles. I think they know that they need him. I think they're probably looking and assessing the mental game much more than the physical game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still he's a young enough guy, young enough running back that you have to worry about that. It's not like he's 10 years in the league and has a lot of experience and has worked through adversity. This is some serious adversity. You don't quite know.
Yeah.
But I think there's a plan in place where we're going to see some productive Stephen Ridley before the season's out.
We can hope. All right.
Yeah.
You guys have had a few minutes to think about it. What do you think? How do you fix him?
I agree that there's a mental aspect to it, psychological aspect to it. But I think the first thing I might do is show him footage of Emmitt Smith, how that guy carried the football, almost never fumbled in his career. And, it was two hands, but even when he went with one hand, the way he held it with one hand, you never saw Emmitt Smith.
No.
Pulling a ball
you never
up
saw
like
his
that.
Arms fly out like we've seen with Stephen Ridley. Emmitt Smith always had his forearm in front of the ball.
In front of the ball, so you couldn't get underneath it. And if you went to go over the top, you were pushing it right back down in the forearm.
Why would you wait till now? If they thought that was the right, if changing the physical way that he carries it was important to the team, why would this is the third year they've been with him. He had fumbling issues last year. Why would you wait till now to say, you know what, we got to change the way?
Well,
he
because
carries
I don't think it was necessarily a problem in the other 2 years. He had. He had one fumble late in the year as a rookie, and then maybe in the playoffs a few weeks later. But he only lost, I think, one of them. And then he had one fumble untimely, obviously.
Well, whether he lost or not is almost.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Irrelevant.
He wasn't going like several game stretches with fumbles. Yeah. He would get a fumble every season.
Yeah.
But this year is the first time that it's really been a string of.
Sure. Sure.
Bad fumbles, and he's lost them.
It's true.
So now I think it's where you really have. Like, before, you kind of give a guy the benefit of the doubt. Everybody makes a mistake. Every quarterback throws an
interception. And like the Polamalu one, they kind of took him off the hook.
Right. This year, I think it's been a little different, where I think it's finally become a problem. Before, it was just unfortunate timing. Now it's a problem.
Yeah. And I guess the real problem will come if, okay, he sits out one game, maybe he sits out even more. If whatever the next game is that he comes back, if he fumbles again,
that's what we're afraid of. Right. But it's going to be all over after that.
That's when we really will have to. That's when we'll really start thinking, and the thinking will be not when's Ridley coming back, but is he ever going to be able? Are they ever going to be able to? Are they going to have to cut ties with this guy as talented as he is? But I also always still go back when it comes to Ridley to the draft. He was drafted in the third round after Vereen. As recently as 2.5 years ago, the Patriots felt better about Shane Vereen than Stephen Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they would have drafted Ridley first.
Mm-hmm.
So they're completely different running backs.
Yep.
But let's not go thinking that this guy came in as the savior and, it's another big-time bust. I mean, he was a third-round pick, and that's probably why.
Mm.
Talented guy, productive guy in college, but there's a few red flags. That's why guys drop to the third round. So I always think about that. It, you know, Vereen was drafted ahead of Ridley. You know,
yeah, people forget
things,
that.
They, you know, yeah. You look at the, right. You look at drafts in hindsight, and believe me, there's as many busts in the first round as it, you can't go through like, oh, this guy was drafted higher, that guy was, but Vereen was the guy who the Patriots on draft day considered the better pro. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would have drafted Ridley first. So
right.
they've gotten good production out of both guys. But let's just keep that in mind. I think Ridley, whatever his career ends up being, it's not like this was a top 10 pick. You know, he had his issues. There were reasons why he was dropped to the third round. So,
all right,
on
Kat,
that note,
what do you think?
Okay. Go ahead.
I agree. I think I actually like the idea of him sitting last week. I thought that was a good move. I think he's in his own head, and the last thing that you want is you want him to come back out and fumble again the next week. So I like that they kept him out. I don't think it was punitive. I know that you were saying that.
I thought it was
yesterday.
I still think it is.
I think he needed it. I think the best thing you could do for him is get him either a sports psychologist, or I know they had him, either they did or Kevin Falk was talking to him, something like that. I think he lacks a lot of focus. I know he's, I don't know what his Wonderlic scores were. I don't know, you know, how he was in college, but I don't think he's the smartest guy. And I think that he lacks focus a lot of the time. We were watching that Denver game, and literally two or three plays before that first fumble, I looked at Dominic and I went, oh man, I don't like what I'm seeing. He's, you know, because he, I think he loses focus. He doesn't, you know, he starts feeling real good and he's getting some good runs, and suddenly you got, you know, chicken wings flying all over. But I don't think, I'm not sure that it's a technical thing. I think it's a mental thing too. So,
and no excuse for him to go into that Denver game without focus.
Right.
You know, huge game,
well,
and coming off two straight games with a, yeah.
But
no,
then he started, you know,
pretty quickly.
I think those endorphins get going, and yeah. I think that he just, he's a young guy, and he doesn't, you know.
And his only defense in that game was, well, everyone else was fumbling too. I mean,
yeah.
Why are you singling me?
Right.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it.
But three straight games.
Good way to put it.
It's almost disgusting comment. It's not almost. It is.
Yeah. He did speak to the media and took ownership of it and said, you know, I liked his comment when he said, you know, the best of Stephen Ridley is still ahead. You know, I thought that showed me that he at least knows, hey, the team doesn't trust me right now. I got to clean some things up.
At least you're right.
No,
took ownership of it.
Yeah.
Okay. We still want your thoughts on how you would fix Stephen Ridley. So give those thoughts a thought yourself and then send them to us, webradio@patriots.com. Call us up at 855-PATS-500. Tweet it to @JRBroadcaster or post it up on Facebook, John.Rook. Bilo, it's been a pleasure,
hey,
my
John,
man.
Been a pleasure as well. And I certainly keep in touch. And I'm a friend of the program.
Yes, you are.
Maybe you'll hear Brian in Watertown call up
I like
sometime.
That. Brian in Watertown. We're going to keep that one in mind, right?
And I'll see if I can mask my voice so you don't know it's me.
I like it.
Yep. Not going to happen.
No, I don't think it's
going
to happen.
No, not going to happen. Once you hear me yapping,
not going to happen. You sound really familiar, like someone I used to know.
That rapid fire delivery that only Bilo could. Could it be?
Oh. You're right. I'd have to change the name. I'd have to, you know, Bob from Watertown. Maybe then I'd get you.
No, probably not. No, I think
probably
so. Not. Something you're going to have to go way off the deep end.
Yeah, I think so.
Xavier from Watertown. That might work.
Xavier from Watertown. That
might work.
That'd do it.
Isaac.
Thank you, John. Thanks for all your help and support over the years. I'll miss it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I didn't do much, but thank you.
You did, believe me.
All right, well, I appreciate that. Thanks for saying that. All right, Mr. Kevin behind the glass, we have one more duty to take at the end of the hour here, and I know Kat wants to sit in on this. He's going to find it now. He's got to cue the orchestra.
You didn't have the orchestra ready? Oh, how many... It's like it just snuck up on him.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
You've never
experienced
that
just make
this
you
meal?
Want to take a shower?
What?
I just get kind of this slimy feel, you know. To
Word of the Day.
Slimy.
The first one. It's the first time he's come out with that.
Yeah. What's that all about?
But he's asking Kat to take a shower with him. Where's this going?
I know.
No, I didn't go there. Her husband's sitting right here, Kevin. All right.
Same.
Come on.
Jeez. Give the man some respect.
Wow.
Eric gets total respect.
I actually knew yesterday's word, Eric.
Did you?
I did.
Had a girl.
We have copper gutters, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you know. You know firsthand.
Yep.
Verdigree. Yesterday's word was verdigris.
Verdigris.
Yes.
French. I just always thought it was that green crap.
Again with the crap here. Today's word is tremulous.
Tremulous. T-R-E-M-U-L-O-U-S.
Just like it sounds.
How about that?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Now, okay. Take a stab at the definition.
Tremulous.
I'll give you a hint. Focus on the root word.
Yeah, I was about to say that which tremors.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Tremulous means trembling or slightly quivering.
Quivering.
Shaking.
Yeah. Okay. That works. Tremulous.
I'll use it in a sentence for you. Whenever Patriots fans see Stephen Ridley carry the ball, they get a very tremulous
feeling in their stomachs. Yeah. Yes. I like that. That's
so does Ridley.
Yeah. Right.
That's also true. He's got a very tremulous feeling right. in his stomach. I like that one. Okay.
So there you go.
A very apropos word this week. And in this day, rather, I should say. Nice job out of you.
No, thank you.
Okay. I'll take back the shower comment then.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Please do.
All right.
I'll see you on Sunday.
Sunday, baby. Sunday it is. All right. Stick around. Russell Baxter, pro football guru himself, coming up in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Welcome back into the Playbook, hour number two on a Thursday here on Patriots.com Radio. It only means one thing, that we check in with the one and only, the esteemed Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports. He's got it all going. Russell, I hope you had a great holiday.
I had a great Thanksgiving. The turkey was good. Unfortunately, for people like Mike Tomlin, he opted for the...
For people like Mike Tomlin, what? The turkey just took your...
He opted for the expensive variety of bird, yeah. Which is raven.
Ba-dunch. I got it.
It's funny because it was Thanksgiving, and did Mike Tomlin get his hand caught in the cookie jar?
He must have. Frankly, I'm a little surprised that I'm not terribly surprised at the fine. I'm a little surprised he didn't have to do some time.
You know what? I am spot on with that, John. I do not understand the draft choice thing at all. Although, you know, to me, when something like this happens, okay, and we talk about draft choices, they have usually surrounded collusion. Contacting a player, I don't know what the term is, contacting a player is not a free agent, and obviously the Bountygate situation, obviously the Spygate situation. But I've never heard of where draft choices. I'm with you. I thought this was going to be a fine and a one-game suspension.
Mm-hmm.
And now it sounds like they're going to, jostle the draft pick.
I don't get that part of it, Russell. What does that have to do with it?
You know what? I mean, Kevin Colbert wasn't on the field,
yeah.
The general manager.
I know.
As far as I know, the Rooneys and Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin didn't plan this.
No, the person that should be punished here is Mike Tomlin, and only Mike Tomlin, not the organization.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. What if by chance, and I know this happens with college football and everything, what if by chance, and obviously it's not going to happen, I'd be stunned, because the Steelers only had three head coaches since 1969. But what if some kind of disagreement occurred and they let Mike Tomlin go after the season? I'm not saying they would. I'm making that perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them getting Doc draft picks because of something he did. Yeah, it was him. And he accepted responsibility, and I believe him. I have no reason to doubt him. He's the only one who knows the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't. I was fine, yes. I was surprised. The talk of draft picks is just really, really interesting to me, and I'm just surprised it wasn't a one-game suspension.
Yeah, I really am, too. Speaking of Mike Tomlin and his fine upcoming and whatever other penalties that the Steelers will have to embrace, they're at home this week against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are next week's opponent for the Patriots. The Dolphins clearly are in a, you know, win-or-else mode. Steelers are also in a win-or-else mode. They're a game behind the Dolphins in the fight for that last wild card spot. It looks like we're going to have five, six, seven teams maybe fighting for one spot in this last week, so you know the NFL's got to be loving that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, timing is everything. So perhaps Mike Wallace can lend Mike Tomlin some money.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Hey, that's fine. Yeah. You know, Mike Wallace, who was one of the high-priced free agents and got a lot of money to go to Miami Dolphins, and good for him. But don't you find it interesting that he's gone and Antonio Brown is not only leading the Pittsburgh Steelers in receptions, he's leading the entire league in catches.
Right. 85.
I mean, that's amazing to me. He's got six touchdowns, twice as many as Wallace, 85 receptions, which is, I think, almost 30 more than Wallace. You know, take it for what you will. Here's what I know. Mike Wallace will not be getting, well, as I wrote in Cold Hard Football Facts, it'll be 60 minutes that are very uncomfortable for him on Sunday.
Yeah. Very good. Ba-dun-tsh. Kevin's not in the studio right now, otherwise he would have given you
Kevin.
That. But I have to give it for you, because that was a pretty good one. That'll go over the head of everybody that's older than 35.
Well, I tried a couple of – Mike Wallace had a good game a couple weeks ago, and I think I tweeted out something about him burning Morley safer on the coverage, but nobody got that either.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know if I can give you one there. All right. All right. So we have the Dolphins at the Steelers, Raiders playing at the Jets as well, as we stay within the division to kind of start things off here. And I think that even the Jets may have surprised themselves by how poorly they played last week.
How's this for consistency? We always talk about the Patriots and how they've been so outstanding. And I know we'll get to them later. For the fourth time in 5 years, the starting quarterback of the New York Jets has committed at least 23 turnovers in a season.
That's amazing. That's dumbfounding. I mean, frankly, you might have to think that Rex Ryan deserves Coach of the Year just to keep his team in the running with that kind of a performance.
Well, it's funny because Mark Sanchez's rookie year, he had 23 turnovers. Of course, they got to the AFC title game.
That's true.
And then the second year, he cut back to 14, which that's where the sign of progress. But I think what happened then was the Jets got away from what they did well. Remember, they were the number one running team and then the number four running team. And I think they decided to turn maybe a little too much over to Mark and become more of a passing team. That's not their personality. Hence, 26 turnovers in back-to-back years. And now we see Geno Smith with 23, and I believe the team has, what, 25?
Mm-hmm.
So talk about domination. But here come the Raiders, and some occasional glimpses this year of progress. But unfortunately for them, even if they run the table, they're 8-8. That's the best they've done since 2000. They have not had a winning season since they went to the Super Bowl in 2002.
Right, right. Gosh, has it really been that long? Good grief.
Yeah. Winning season, a couple 8-8s a couple of years ago. And again, if they run the table here, they can be 8-8. But, you know, for those of us who remember the 70s when there were really six football teams.
Right.
That dominated. Cowboys, Rams, Vikings in the NFC, Steelers, Dolphins, Raiders in the AFC. You know, the Raiders have had obviously some long stints, but this more than a decade of ineptitude is absolutely stunning to me.
Yeah, it truly is, especially with Al Davis no longer with us. I mean, so many people thought he was the problem. Clearly, he was not the only problem.
No, it's hard. You know, there were some really cruel things said about Al Davis that, you know, people wishing him you know what and
yeah,
so on.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, because of course football is really important. You know, I mean, God forbid that might be somebody's father or grandfather, but your football team needs to be doing better.
Right.
But as you can see, is an organ. Now, I will say that Reggie McKenzie went out this year and invested 10 picks in the draft, which is not something the Raiders have done in a long time, and we'll see if those players end up. And that's the only way they're going to bounce back. But, you know, they're still having trouble finding a quarterback. Have they found one in Matt McGloin? You know, and Terrell Pryor showed progress this year. But
he did.
Matt Flynn was supposed to be the quarterback after the trade. So hard to figure out where they're going. Unfortunately, they're sitting dead last in the AFC West again.
Right, right. I'm not going to spend a whole heck of a lot of time on the other divisional opponent just because the Bills are out of it, the Bucks are out of it, but the Bills are playing at the Bucks, and, of course, the Patriots still have one more game with the Bills to play in the final week of the regular season. You and I will have plenty of time to, you know, probably analyze that one later, especially if the Patriots have clinched a bye by then and whether or not you play them or sit them, because you know that question is coming. There is also another one that I will kind of pass right by. Tonight's game, the Texans playing at the Jags. I really have no understanding as to why the NFL wouldn't have flexed out of this one altogether.
I don't think they can flex out of a Thursday.
Oh. Well, I'm talking about, like, you know, just saying, hey, guys, we're going to take a pass. We're going to take a pass and show Belichick a football life instead.
Well, it's funny you should say Belichick, because I don't know if this has ever happened. A year ago at this time, those Houston Texans were getting ready to play Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots on a Monday night.
That's also true.
And they were 11-1, the best record in the league.
And now they have...
Now they are 2-10, the
worst record
in
the league. Yeah.
Now, I think about that. 11 wins to 2 wins in a one-year span after 12 games.
Something's got to happen there. Somebody's head's got to go, right?
I think heads, helmets, shoulder pads... there's going to have to be some changes there, because this is inexplicable. You know, much like Kansas City last year, John, you look at the talent on the team and you're trying to figure out, how did that team win 2 games? Okay, how does this team win 2 games? After, I mean, they were 22-10 the previous 2 years. Now they're 2-10.
That's, yeah. There's really not a whole lot of explanation for it, to be honest with you, though. They have certainly been hurt with injuries. Matt Schaub has, all of a sudden, is the guy that can't, you know, throw straight. And Gary Kubiak's forgotten how to coach. And, oh, by the way, you know, dealing with the stress of it, he's had a stroke. So,
right.
You know.
And, you know, I think what happened with this team, there's a lot of expectations. And early in the year, you know, not to blame Matt Schaub entirely, but in part, I think those performances early in the year kind of had a demoralizing effect on the team. And that loss to Seattle when they were way up 20-3.
Yeah.
I think we're going to look back at that and say that was the turning point of a season.
Sure. All right, well, there is certainly one great game, I think, on Sunday that a lot of fans, especially Patriots fans, have to look forward to in addition to their own team's game. Colts playing at the Bengals. You got the 2-8-4 teams, the two division leaders, the two teams that certainly could end up, you know, vying for a potential bye in the AFC playoffs along with the Patriots. And, of course, I think everybody sort of considers a fait accompli that Denver will be the other one here. Still trying to figure out exactly, and I think we came to the conclusion, Russell, that Indianapolis winning at Cincinnati might be a little bit better for the Patriots at this stage, with still about a month left to go in the regular season. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree with that, because Cincinnati, I think, is the one team that could sneak into the two spot, because they already beat the Patriots this year.
Correct.
And they would have beaten the Colts. Now, they don't play Denver, but they're not worried about that. They're worried about getting a bye. So they're not necessarily worrying about being number one, but they would love to be number two. And if they can somehow get a break and wind up tied, say there's a three-way tie between Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and New England, I believe Cincinnati gets the two spot, because they would have beaten both of them head-to-head.
Right.
So they're
right.
Only a game behind New England, 9-3, 8-4. So, yeah, I think this is a – you know, we've seen a lot of erratic play out of the Bengals. We've still seen very steady defense, even though Geno Atkins and – Leon Hall aren't there. We don't seem to see any kind of steady defense out of the Indianapolis Colts, with the exception of Robert Mathis, who has 15.5 sacks, and the rest of the team has 14.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So he's almost like a one-man show, and yet they don't really stop anybody. And last week, you know, even though they had a halftime lead, I don't think they have scored a touchdown the first half in five straight games. And then last week they only scored the one touchdown, 5 field goals from Adam Vinatieri. Mm-hmm. So I like what the Bengals are doing. I mean, this would be a good spot for the Colts, because they have pulled off some impressive road wins, including the one at San Francisco.
They are 4-2 away, but, yes.
I just like what Cincinnati has done. I would say of all the, you know, the main contenders, and what I'm talking about are the six teams that are in the playoff picture right now. Not that other teams aren't, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Baltimore and Kansas City is the wild cards, and then the four division leaders. I think it's safe to say that the Bengals have the best of those defenses.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and that's probably what should concern Patriots fans the most as well, the fact that you know, they seem to be the most relevant, the most worthy right now in terms of being a long-standing or at least a playoff contender that can last a while once we get to that. And I realize it's still over a month away, but if there was ever a day, ever a game for a road team to come in and pop the Bengals, I think this would be it. Because, you know, if the Patriots still control their own destiny, we know that. They've got a game lead over everybody. But if there is a stumble, you want to make sure that the team right behind you also has a stumble. And this looks like that could be the best bet for the Bengals right down toward the end of the season.
It's always good to have a backup plan.
Yes, you need a backup plan. We all need backup plans in life. Let's see, what else? Was there anything else in the AFC that I really wanted to deal with? Well, the Ravens are at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, it doesn't sound terribly daunting, but it has been a mixed bag for the Ravens. They did have, they have had at least a little bit more even performance over the last week or two. The Vikings were the one that surprised a little bit more last week, but the Vikings have not won a road game. Is there any reason to think they could win one this week?
No, but I am imploring Commissioner Roger Goodell to give the Vikings the first half of this game off. After the last 2 weeks, they have basically played 10 full quarters of football the last 2 weeks, one resulting in a tie
mm-hmm.
with the Packers. And then last week, going all the way down to, I think, what, a minute 43 left in overtime?
Yeah, right.
When they beat the Bears?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, give this team a break. And meanwhile, they get to play a team that's well-rested because Baltimore last played on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens' defense is so-so, and it could shape as one of those games where Adrian Peterson gets his buck 60 or buck 70. And it might be Matt Cassel, by the way, not necessarily Christian Ponder, serves up a couple of pick sixes. You know, Baltimore is in the third leg of a three-game homestand. They have beaten the Jets and they've beaten the Steelers. They have scored a combined 2 touchdowns and 9 field goals in those games. So they're having trouble punching the ball in the end zone. Against Minnesota, who I think has given up at least 20 points in every game this year, I don't think they will have that trouble.
Right. I'm trying to there's one other game that I wanted to ask you about. We talked about this earlier in the week. Broncos obviously are at home in the driver's seat, the top spot in the AFC. Tennessee comes in. Is there any reason to think that Denver, in your estimation, won't win out? Because they certainly seem to have the easiest schedule in the stretch run amongst the division leaders right now.
Yeah, I think it's conceivable, but on the other hand, the way the Broncos play defense, you know, you're always wary of them tripping themselves up. You're just always concerned with that regard. You know, they have a habit of making teams that are not that great on defense, I mean, great on offense, looking good. I want to say that 10 of their 12 games this year, they've given up at least 20. The others were Jacksonville 19 and Kansas City 17. So, you know, I know they have, you know, since Peyton got in there, they haven't lost a game in the division, which is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Peyton down the stretch, it can get very, very hot. He might have regained his touch last week.
Yeah, look.
I mean, I certainly don't like Tennessee's defense at Denver this week, but I may be a little hesitant to think if Denver can necessarily run the table. That being said, I think it's going to be difficult for any. The thing that's interesting, John, I know I'm giving you a roundabout answer here. You know, there's a lot of teams in this league, especially in the AFC, who don't play great defense. And I just think that makes them vulnerable on a weekly basis.
Well, we have to hope for just one more vulnerability, one more vulnerable mm-hmm. moment for the Broncos. And then the Patriots take care of their own business, then that's all you need. One more weak moment. That's all we need.
No doubt about it. Listen, somewhere down the line, blowing that 24-0 lead is going to come back and haunt the Denver Broncos. I don't know which way and in what form, but somehow it's going to come back and haunt them.
There are some absolutely dynamite games in the NFC this week. I'm going to start with the Lions playing at the Eagles, only because you got two teams here that are also in the division leading mode, or at least right up there in shape to be. And this almost kind of serves as a bit of an elimination game, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And the NFC in general, I would say the next month or so is going to be fascinating. When you look at for instance, when you look at Philadelphia alone, they've got Detroit, they've got Chicago, and then in the finale they got Dallas.
That's an unbelievable stretch run right there. If they can run the gauntlet there, you know, hand it to them.
I'm not going to predict what Philadelphia is going to do.
Yeah.
But one way or another, they're going to have a great bearing on what happens in the NFC.
Sure.
I mean, I know Chicago is reeling, and of course Chicago gets Dallas this week on Monday night. You know, the NFC East and the NFC North, which have been, you know, they're kind of looking similar in some ways. Maybe not as bad bottom heavy as the Giants and the Redskins have been, but Minnesota's certainly been erratic, and now Green Bay's below 500. So it's going to be fat this stretch. I don't know how the NFL manages to do it every year, but they do.
Yeah, they do.
And it's going to be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out, especially if Dallas and Philly are tied the final Sunday of the season, and for the third straight year, Dallas is going to play for the NFC East title mm-hmm. on the final game of the season.
And lose it.
Well, this one they're playing at home, so, you know, it's funny, if they lose this one...
Where's Leon Lett?
And they lose it at home... You and I might have to do some shows in the offseason.
Yeah, we might have to. Hey, how about the fact that they've got what really amounts to me to be an NFC Final Four this weekend? This could be a preview of the divisional playoff here. Seahawks playing at the 49ers, although it'll probably be reversed, and the Panthers playing at the Saints. Now, that's a dynamite Final Four right there.
Oh, there's no question about it. And Seattle did themselves, obviously, a great service with that performance Monday. Even it doesn't matter, they won by 27. The fact that they won, period. You know, they're sitting with a three-game lead in the NFC West, and they can wrap up the division with a win. If they win, they also wrapped up a first-round bye. And if they continue, and if they win, they already own a two-game lead over both Carolina and New Orleans, and barring ties, which I won't say, there won't be a tie.
Right.
One of them is going to fall three-game behind, and they beat both the Saints and the Panthers head-to-head. You have to go back all the way to week one in a game where probably people kind of snooze through. Seattle 12, Carolina 7 in Carolina. That game is going to play a great bearing in the playoffs.
Wow, that's true. It absolutely is. Is Seattle as dominant as they have played? I know that sounds like a little bit of a silly question, but it seems like they've pretty much taken care of just about everybody that they've needed to take care of and have been more dominant as the season wears on. And will the test ultimately come this weekend in San Francisco?
Well, you know, last year they, you know, and it was early in Russell Wilson's career, but, you know, they kind of got shut down. And so it was a 13-6, I think, Thursday night game. But you could see even then how good Seattle was. And I know they've blown out San Francisco the last two times they played them, and both those games are in Seattle. And I know a lot of people like to talk about Seattle on the road being a different team. Well, they are a different team. They're different from when they were last year, because last year when they went on the road, they usually lost. And now they go on the road. They're 5-1 on the road this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I don't think people realize that if you go back to last season, when after they've opened 6-5, John, they are 16-1 in their last 17 regular season games.
Good grief.
Their only loss is to the Colts this year.
That's
I think San Francisco will hold serve. I think it'll be desperation time. I wonder how much of Michael Crabtree we will actually see.
Yep.
And you're right. Then you go to the Sunday night game, which is the first of, you know, Carolina and New Orleans haven't played each other yet this year. Now it'll be twice in 3 weeks. And I keep on throwing out this number because I think it's amazing parallel, but actually it's an opposite. You have a Carolina team that has given up 12 touchdowns in 12 games, two in the first half. And you're playing a Saints team, the last time we saw them on Sunday Night Football, scored 7 touchdowns in one night.
Yep. Yep. That's amazing. Something has to give there, huh?
Well, you would think so.
Yeah.
And it was funny because last year they were both 7-9, and obviously circumstances different for both. But it is worth noting that Carolina won both of those meetings last year.
That is something. The Monday night game, Cowboys at the Bears, again, two teams that are also on the cusp of either being right there or being completely knocked out. And the Bears have to figure out a way to defend home fort.
The Chicago Bears have given up 504 yards rushing, John, in the last two games.
We think we have it bad in New England.
Oh, my goodness. And how's this? And it's almost a silly thing. I didn't really go back and look at it. The last 2 weeks, the Chicago Bears have given up rushing touchdowns to wide receivers. Tavon Austin 2 weeks ago, and last week it was Cordell Patterson.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, they're not stopping water from running, to be honest with you. And as much as we want to talk about Cutler, McNown, and, you know, this team made the transition from defensive to offensive. But right now, it's really without its linebacking core of the last few years. Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Nick Roach. Roach is in Oakland. Urlacher is retired. Briggs is hurt. They've got issues at defensive tackle. It's amazing because even when Lovie Smith had his off years, the defense was usually pretty solid. And it's not like they've been less than opportunistic. They still have 23 takeaways this year. But they're dead last in the league in stopping the run and 28th overall in defense.
Mm.
Now, does Dallas take advantage of that? Because they're not exactly.
I'm shaking my head because I don't know that the Cowboys are always an enigma to me. So, I mean, I don't know that they can. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll prove us wrong. But until I actually see them do it in something that really counts for something, I'm going to have my doubts.
Oh, I agree. I mean, Dallas has won two in a row. It's only the second time all year they've won two in a row. So we'll see. And they have a habit of falling on their face in exactly these spots.
Oh, yeah.
But if they can get a little help from Detroit this week and then win in Chicago, we shall see.
Yeah.
Maybe give the Cowboys a little breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you know, if they lose on the road and Detroit loses on the road, suddenly they're a game behind Philadelphia. Now, the one saving grace for the Eagles, obviously, is the fact that they're 4-0 in the division. They've already beaten Philadelphia in Philadelphia.
Right.
So,
right.
It's the likelihood that we are going to get a wild card from anything other than the NFC South or the NFC West is probably pretty remote.
Yeah.
Although I would say that I wouldn't say never. It's not like the 7-5s are out of the woods, especially since Carolina's playing New Orleans twice and all that. And remember, you know, Philly 7-5, San Francisco is only 8-4. It's only a game difference.
There's a lot of room to play with right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to play with. I mean, if you're Seattle, you're feeling pretty good, but I don't know how good you're feeling if you're the other teams quite yet.
Right.
And I think there could be maybe 2 10-6s that don't make it out of the NFC.
Which would really be a turnaround because that's the same conference that delivered us a 7-9 Seattle team not too many years ago.
Right, and a 9-7 Super Bowl champion 2 years ago.
Don't we remember that? Okay, yes. That leads us then to the Browns at the Patriots here on Sunday. I'd like to think that the Patriots would get a test. I think that they may, but right now we just don't know for sure who's going to play quarterback for Cleveland. And in this day and age, you don't know who your starting quarterback is going to be, and you are 72 hours away from kickoff. That's extraordinarily poor, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of sums up the franchise, unfortunately, that has, always just seems to find a way. You know, there was great optimism with them this year. And then all of a sudden they traded Trent Richardson, which may wind up being a great move for them. And Brandon Weeden fell out of favor.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone through three different starting quarterbacks. And what do you know?
They should have never given up on Colt McCoy.
Yeah, I point this out about this franchise, and I mean no disrespect. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have had three head coaches since 1969, and the Cleveland Browns have had three owners since 1999. And unfortunately, it's just not a lot of stability.
No.
And, you know, they've gone through their share of head coaches and can't find a quarterback. They've drafted, since 99, John, they've drafted three quarterbacks in the first round.
Yep.
And, you know, Tim Couch, Brady Quinn, you know, of course, now Brandon Weeden. And, you know, it just hasn't come to pass. And, you know, yet they beat Cincinnati this year, and they beat Baltimore this year, and did it with two different quarterbacks. But once again, it looks like a subpar season. Hopefully for them, they can avoid losing 11 games, which I believe they've done 5 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yeah, five years in a row.
In a row, right.
They don't make it six.
Now they're kind of on their way, aren't they? The one thing problem
and
that
they're on their way to loss number nine this year. So by the way, congrats to the Pats. I've written this several places, and I've probably brought it up before. 9-3 means they will have a winning record for the 13th consecutive season. That is tied for the sixth longest streak in the history of the National Football League. And for those people who insist that dynasty is dead, we should all be that dead.
Yeah, no kidding. We should all have that on our grave marker, right? What is the longest?
I'd like a transfusion. I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, exactly. That was a line in a movie somewhere, too, I think.
I'll have what she's having.
She's having.
To modify it.
Of course you do. Yeah. What is the longest streak of winning seasons?
It would be 20 by the Dallas Cowboys. From 1966 to 85.
Right. Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I believe this ties. Somebody's going to have to double-check me. Just throw up the test. I think this is the Browns from 1957 to 69, 13 years.
Ooh, how about that? Okay.
Something like this. Something like, I hope I'm not mixing up my years.
Okay.
I hope I'm not thinking it's something else.
You're not going back
but it was a Browns team that had 13 straight winning seasons.
You're not quite going back to the Otto Graham days with them, though.
No, that's like the tail end.
Well, 57, yeah. 57, that would have been the Frank Ryan days or something almost.
57 to 69. Maybe I can look in the book and cheat while we're wrapping up here.
I would never expect you to do that. You're the one guy that I would expect you to always be honest because
of all the years I worked at ESPN, I double checked everything that I ever did. Okay? Because as I would explain to people, I was never wrong when I was at ESPN.
No, you weren't.
No. And I mean that in this sense. I could make the talent look wrong, and no one cares about the behind-the-scenes person, and I don't mean that to be mean or anything.
No, it's true. It's true.
If an anchor makes the mistake on the air, people are going to boo the anchor.
Yeah.
So that's why everything is always double-checked, and guess what? I am right.
Okay.
57 to 69.
See, there you go. Yeah. I would expect nothing less from you, Mr. Baxter. Nothing
well,
less.
Listen, you don't go on TV and say Joe DiMaggio had a 54-game hitting streak.
Yeah. So. How many? Yeah, that's exactly right.
Exactly. Dewey defeats Truman.
That's exactly. So. Dewey defeats Truman. That's a good one, too. All right. As always, my man, I'm glad you had a great holiday with your family. Look forward to this stretch run with you because it's a lot of fun. And football, really, just we get to amp it up a little bit, put it more under the microscope over the next few weeks as we get ready for a playoff push.
Not that the early games won't be good. But as you alluded to, you know, late on Sunday afternoon we get Seattle, San Francisco, and then Sunday night we get Carolina, New Orleans. The NFC should start taking some sort of form.
Yep. Totally agree with that. That's why the real games this week are definitely in the NFC, as I mentioned earlier. That's going to be exciting to watch. Russell, we'll do it next week.
You got it, John.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. One of the all-time brainiacs, I think, that I've ever met, you know, who covers pro football, knows a little bit of everything, as you can probably tell, and isn't really just overly in your face with it, you know? He's got this encyclopedic knowledge that just never ceases to amaze me. There are some very good games on the agenda this week. I wish, actually kind of hope that ours is one of them, but then there's another part of me that says, no, not really. I don't hope that ours is one of them. I kind of like to be done with it by, you know, the third quarter, and then, you know, we kind of coast on in. So, cat in Chicago, what cat from Chicago or cat in Chicago? Which do you prefer, by the way? In or from?
I'm not really from there, so.
I know, but.
I would say in.
Cat
except
in
I'm
Chicago.
Not in Chicago right
yeah.
now, so.
I know that you're not. Cat in Chicago, who happens to be in Foxborough at this very moment. I didn't realize this when we were talking in the last hour, but I didn't realize that this is your first Patriot game at Gillette.
It is.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Wow.
Yeah. It's my birthday, too, so they got to win for me.
Oh, is
it's
that
happen.
Right?
Yeah.
Kevin, do we have a birthday song for Kat?
We don't have that one.
We don't
Thank
have
God.
That one. Okay. All right. Just wondering. All right. Here we go. Let's get some emails in here very quickly. Aloha. Oh, guess where he's from. My name is Brandon Burnaby from Hawaii. I wanted to say Brady's accuracy has been horrible this past couple of games. What do you think about that? Horrible? Really?
Does it actually say, what do you think about that?
Yes. What do you think like about it. That? That's what he says. Also, I think Ridley is a beast but can't hold on to the dang football. Do you think he will be on the field this week? Also, how do you feel about Boyce returning kickoffs? Thanks for the time. Hope to hear you answer my questions. Much mahalo, which means thank you very much from Hawaii. Okay. All right, Kat, here you go. I'm going to let you handle this one.
I think Ridley plays. I think they're going to put him in there in the first quarter and then, and you know, give him a shot, give him a couple runs. If he's doing good, they'll stick with him.
I think they proved their point last week when they, you know.
Again, like I said, I think that that was more for his benefit. I think he's got to get out of his own head. And I think being a young guy, he was stuck there.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I just fear knowing some of these people as I know them. Mm-hmm. They're vindictive.
That's true.
They're just vindictive. That's just the way it is. This is a business, and we don't have time for this. And, you know, it's my way or the highway, and, you know, you're out. And I don't know how you can do that at the expense of potentially hurting your football team, because it's all about winning games. You got to have your best players on the field to win games. That's why I thought the whole, well, he was 46th in the line of, you know, whatever it was that Bill Belichick said. I was so disingenuous. I've been so disappointed in Bill Belichick. Because, I mean, I think we all know that you have to read between the lines with what he says. But that was just playing everybody for a fool.
Well, he does that frequently, though.
Usually you can kind of read through it. That one was kind of like, okay, shut up. You don't know anything. I'm the boss. Get out of here.
I think he does that at least once or twice a season that I've noticed.
Well, he did it there, that's for sure.
What was the other question from Brandon?
The other question was, how do you feel about Boyce returning kickoffs?
Yes. I like it.
Well, I've been calling for that, I think, since almost week one. Mm-hmm. And they finally decided to get to it.
He looked like he could have broken a couple. There were some issues on one of them. Slater, who's normally so good, missed a block.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think he looks dynamic. And they certainly don't seem like they're going to trust him in the passing game.
No.
So I would prefer to have him back there doing it than, say, Edelman, who... I would prefer to save him for those passing downs.
Okay. A couple of score predictions come through on Facebook. Mary Beth says, hi, John. Happy birthday, Kat.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Enjoy the game Sunday. So there you go. You got somebody ruling for you. She says, Pat's 31, Brown's 10. Chris says on Facebook, can I add another TD for Cleveland? Final 34-17. Okay, 34-17. That's close to where I am. I never gave my score at the end of the first hour, which I usually do with Eric. I'm going to say 33-16 Patriots.
I'm going to go big. It's my birthday. I want to see something
epic.
You want
to go big. Epic.
I'm going to go.
Epic. We're talking epic.
Epic.
How epic are we talking?
I'm talking 42-17.
Ooh. Okay.
Epic.
Nice.
I don't care if it's realistic or not. I want it.
Nice. Here is Asim, who says, a fan from Scotland, UK, on Twitter, says, do you think the Patriots will begin to start the game fast, and can they maintain it for 90 minutes? 90 minutes? How about 60 minutes?
No, I don't think, I think going back to what one of the previous emailers said, mm-hmm. I think Brady's accuracy has been off, especially early in the games, and I don't think he's coming out real warm. I would be surprised. Also, they haven't used as much hurry up this year. I don't know if that's a fact of the guys not gelling or they just, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure why that's happening, but I don't know. I think it's going to take them a couple drives to get into it, but then they're really going to grind Cleveland down. So we'll see.
Steve and Colleen says, to follow up from yesterday, Night Train Lane got his nickname from his fear of flying and taking the night trains to away games. You are correct, sir. I actually looked that up last night myself. Thank you for bringing it up. He was also known for his neck arm tackling, which was dubbed the Night Train Necktie.
That.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I do love that.
Which, of course, would get a huge penalty nowadays, right?
Yeah, but he had such style doing
it. He did. And plus, a name like Night Train, I mean, how could you not want to see a guy
There were some great
like Bronco
interviews.
Nagurski.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see these guys play, right? Thoughts on Austin Collie's return. Do you see him as an option to stretch the field vertically?
No.
No. I don't. I see him as an option basically to fill in until, you know, Aaron Dobson gets back on the field.
Oh, I think he's a slot. I don't.
Well, he's a slot, but I mean, he can also play that. He can also do that. So that's what I think. He's just right now, you're down numbers. And so I think that's part of the reason why he's in there.
I sell Austin Collie. I'm not a buyer.
And Haida Cat as well. She would be a great option to replace B-Lo, too. There you go. See? I have little doubt she knows more about the game of football. Just saying. Wow.
I'm glad B-Lo was gone for that. Poor B-Lo.
Brian's a good guy, and he's a smart guy. That's why we had him on the show for all those years. Billy from Kentucky. Love the show. Usually don't get to listen live, only to the podcast, but I do have a question. Who do you think Joe Haden matches up best with against the Patriots, and do you think he will take said person out of game? New England 34, Cleveland 13. Well, obviously he's not going to take too many people out of the game if it's 34-13. You know, Hayden's pretty good.
He's very good.
Yeah.
He's very good. That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think Dobson's going to play, right?
No,
yeah.
No.
So,
I don't think he matches up great. No, and it doesn't really matter. Honestly, it doesn't really matter because I think where the Patriots win this game is how they've won the last couple. And quite frankly, you know, Gronk is heating up. We've seen Julian Edelman become, you know, a go-to guy now. I mean, he's got 70 catches already on the year, right? And Danny Amendola is relatively healthy. So I think those are going to be your primary targets. And then you got Vereen coming out of the backfield. So it doesn't really matter who Haden matches up with, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Josh from Seaville, Charlottesville, Virginia. Hey, John, and a cat, a very special, how you doing? That's what he says, how you doing.
I like it.
I'm emailing in to give you my game day prediction. I'm calling it 35-24 Patriots win. I think Josh Gordon's going to have a day against Tlaib, at least I hope so, because he's on my fantasy team. I don't see them having trouble stopping Chris Ogbonnaya. I should say Ogbonnaya because he's a UT guy. Even though with all of the injuries, I don't think the Browns defense is equipped to handle Tom and the Brady bunch. Glad to have you back, John. Now I have to get back to work. Okay, Josh, thank you for that. Steve says, oh, by the way, 27-17 Pats, and happy birthday to Kat.
Thank you.
See? You got people rooting for you.
I know. That's Tony, so sweet.
Tony says, is there any team remaining on the schedule that from a rushing perspective can gash the Pats game, but undersized, physically overmatched DL? Ravens, perhaps? Although Rice is having an off year. I think the Ravens would be the one that I would think of. I think that the Bills would probably come at them with,
CJ Spiller's off though right now too.
Yeah, but that's kind of the mode that Buffalo is. That's what they've been known for, whatever they've been known for. So I would say the last two teams on the schedule, certainly the Bills will have nothing to play for. The Pats may have nothing to play for. So, all bets are off on that one, but I would say those teams would be most likely. Also says here, given the overwhelming need to protect Brady and given the subpar state of the OL and pass protection, up until last week at least, should the Ravens and Dolphins' defensive lines be cause for concern? Always yes. Anyone's defensive line on the remainder of the schedule should be a cause for concern because while we've seen some improved play by the offensive line, that unfortunately has been a little bit of a disappointment, I think, overall this season.
We've also seen some improved play from the tight ends. And from Devlin, too, at fullback.
And they've needed
Mulligan and Gronk have been blocking very – that last game, they were great. And, I'm really tough on blocking tight ends.
Right.
So.
Yep, you are. Josh from Stratford, Connecticut. I'm predicting 27-17 Patriots. Collie in the lineup now. What do you think are chances of seeing Boyce out there as a receiver? I actually thought about that before, that they re-signed Austin Collie. So I still don't think they like Josh Boyce in that role. I think they're trying to give him a role that he can sort of play into to make sure he stays on this team. They want to see him develop. And I think that they'll still give him a chance to be a pass receiver. I just don't think they see it right now.
Yeah, I'm still confused about what they expect and want from their young wide receivers. I just never understand it. I don't understand. Tompkins started out early, doing so well, and then they subbed Dobson in, but now he's hurt. Now Tompkins back, but they never went to Boyce. They get these guys. They have a lot of physical talent, it looks like, but they don't come along. I don't understand the coaching and the training regimen for wide receivers on this team. So who knows?
You're going to have some people lining up behind you on that one, I think.
Yeah.
LaShawn on West Palm, 45-12 Patriots, run away with it. Tom Brady throws four TDs, a pick six by the defense, and go Cat. How about that? You got fans. Can I be your agent? It's Harley from North Carolina. I think we blow out the Browns to send a message across the AFC. I predict us to win 42-9. Brady has four of the touchdowns. Steven rushes for the other two, and Tlaib gets a pair of picks. I know it's a long shot, but we have blown anyone out this year other than Pittsburgh, so I think this is the one we have been waiting for.
I like it.
Go Harley. Sean in Maryland, 38-17. The Browns picking up a late garbage TD in the closing minutes. They should handle with ease this week. Even with a slow start, Gordon can only do so much. I'd bet a lot of money he won't have another 200-yard-plus game. BB's specialty, of course, is taking away the opponent's best weapon. Don't be surprised if Jordan Cameron has a big game, though. Focus will be on Gordon. Pats have always had trouble with tight ends tearing up the middle of the field. I kind of agree with that. I actually think Cameron will be the guy that probably has a bigger game of the two, because for that very reason that Sean just said. The Patriots are really good at taking out the opponent's best weapon and making somebody else beat you. Sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't. Nicholas, out here in New Mexico with all the snow, I'm going to pick the Pats to win 31-20. I feel comfortable with this game. I also felt comfortable with last week's game, but kind of weird as it was the fourth quarter and had to get a score on the board. Should the Pats fans be worried with a performance like that? Should always be worried with a performance like that, you know, because when you play down to the level of your opponent and you don't put teams away when you have a chance to do it, or you wake up late, as the case was last week, where you're making all these, you know, unbelievable adjustments at halftime, and then it looks like a completely different team coming out of the second half. I mean, yeah, you should always worry. You should always be concerned.
I attribute a lot of last week's first half to coaching, and I'm hoping that they won't make those same mistakes again. So I'm optimistic. The coaching, I thought, in the first half was really they didn't adjust well. Some of the offensive plays they called, I did not understand, and it did not seem the right time for those calls. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why we're running Shane Vereen up the middle. That's not his strength.
No, it's
you
not.
Can't, you know.
That's right. You're going to go between the tackles. All right, Blunt's the guy. That's the guy.
Yeah, and defensively,
or Ridley for that matter.
And defensively, they were not looking at the personnel out on the field and adjusting.
Right.
So.
Let's see, this one comes from, it doesn't give a name, but he says he's trying, on Ridley, the question of Ridley, he's trying to do too much, get rid of the spin move. Not all, but most of his fumbles happen here. Something that we've talked about. Dave in Connecticut, I got the Pats winning 34-13. Chandler Jones breaks out three sacks. Logan Ryan gets a pick. Sean in Vancouver, Pats 45, Browns 34. That's a shoot 'em out, huh?
Wow.
This one from Joel in Connecticut. Love the show, missed you dearly, glad you're back, thank you. About Ridley, in order to fix it, we need to be patient with him. Don't give up on him. Keep pounding in his head. Technique, technique, technique. Technique, technique. That reminds me of that SpongeBob SquarePants episode with Squidward. I know, I'm completely off the wall on that one. He needs his confidence, so we need to console him and push him so he can get over this hump. You never saw that episode of SpongeBob SquarePants when he's trying to blow bubbles? And he's yelling at Squidward, technique, technique.
SpongeBob was after my time. You have kids, so.
I had kids.
Well.
They're all grown up now. They've all left me. So push him so he can get over the hump. I believe he will, but not without support from his coaches and teammates. All right. That works. Gustavo from Mission, Texas. First of all, thanks to B-Lo for great moments and memories. Good luck. Excellent. Next, Steve and Fumble Ridley. Put two hands on the ball like Emmett Smith used to do for the Cowboys. By the way, not a Cowboys fan. See, that's what we talked about, right? Last but not least, Pats 42, Browns 17.
That's me.
I think that was your score, right?
Yes, yeah.
Dave in Lancaster, California. Pats 27-17. We've had several 27-17, so something tells me we may be done with this contest if this game ends up 27-17. Josh in Florida, I agree. I feel Ridley does get caught up and loses focus. If you see the play before the last fumble, he had a nice run, then raises his arm, starts pointing to the crowd, hyping him up. Next play, fumble. To fix, I'd have him stop the celebrating. Focus on each play. Run the play through his head. Take it play by play. Okay. Thank you, Coach Josh in Florida. And I can't disagree with it. Josh in Arlington, Virginia. Can you guys spend just a minute talking to me into using Ben Tate tonight? Oh, that's for Football Nation. Okay. No, I won't talk you into it. Make up your own mind, wimp. Out here in San Diego, our entire fan club, Pat City, is expecting a rout of epic and biblical proportions. Pats hang a 50 burger on the Dogs. 52-21.
Nice.
Mr. John, I think he meant give him hell. Sunday is Patriots Day. That's Max in San Diego. Max, you get the last word here. That's good stuff. A 50 burger.
I like it. Or I like your style,
yeah,
Max.
Or as I like to say, hang 50 on them. That was an old Barry Switzer thing. We're going to, or actually, he used to say, hang half a hundred. Not hundred, hundred.
Hundred.
Hundred. We're going to hang half a hundred on them. Kat, it's been a lot of fun having you in here.
Thank you so much.
Dominic, would you like to open up the microphone and say anything?
He's shy.
He's shy? Okay. Your husband's a good sport.
I know. He is, isn't he?
He's a good sport.
He puts up with a wife who's addicted to football. I know.
That's not a bad thing.
Oh, see, Dom. Now I've gotten him.
Now you've motivated him to turn on the microphone. Go ahead.
I'm sure everyone else is really feeling for me with that.
No, I'm sure there are a lot of envious guys out there saying, right. I wish my wife was as much a football fan, you know? So that's why it's fun to talk to you when you call into the show, and that's why it's fun to have you in here, because you seem to not only know what you're talking about, but you're passionate about it. And whether you're misguided or not in any of your opinions, which frankly does not happen all that often, and we all have misguided opinions, it's fun to talk to people that have that kind of passion, which is why it's so much fun for me to come in and do this show as many years as I've done it, because everybody's passionate about it, and that's why it's fun to come to work. So it's pretty cool.
Well, you guys have been a good distraction and respite from years of grad school and now from years of construction. So it's a good trade-off, I think. If you're happy with it, I'm happy with it, and
excellent.
Let's keep doing it.
Excellent. We're going to give that a shot. You make sure that you have a very happy birthday on this weekend.
Yeah. On Sunday.
It is on Sunday, and then you have to come by. I don't know where your seats are, but you know where we're situated on the west side of the stands there. Come by and wave at me when you see me pop up in the window, okay? And we'll get you into the booth and, you know,
cool.
Let you see from in there, okay? And if you need to warm yourself up, you can,
right?
You can warm yourself up. We'll let you put the mittens on the heater and all that kind of
stuff.
Thank you. So, yeah, we can take care of it that way, all right?
All right.
Enjoy the weekend, all right?
Thank you, John.
All right, I guess that's it for now. We'll be back same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday with nitpicks. Hopefully not too many, but you know there's always going to be some. And then, yes, you've got a divisional opponent coming up next week on the road in sunny Florida that is going to be playing for their very playoff lives, regardless of whether they win or they lose this weekend. Could be more important even if they lose this weekend. So there you go. That's what we'll be working with next weekend. Football Nation's coming up next. I'm John Rook. Next Tuesday, everyone.
I know what day it is. I know what day it is. Come on. Somebody ask me. Come on. I know the answer to this one. It's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.